Good morning. From today's Dancing with Shiva, Sloka 40, what is the nature of the Jnana Bhava? Jnana is divine wisdom emanating from an enlightened being, a soul in its maturity, immersed in Shivaness, the blessed realization of God, while living out earthly karma. Jnana is the fruition of yoga tapas. An important distinction between Siddhanta and Vedanta, what jnana is and how we acquire it. In Vedanta, which of course is better known, when you say jnana, you think of jnana yoga and you think of scriptural study and knowing lots of scriptures. And of course, if you talk to those who are immersed in jnana yoga, you have to learn Sanskrit. No way you can understand without learning Sanskrit. Somehow, Yoga Swami Gurudeva got by, did just fine, without reading that many books and without learning Sanskrit. So obviously that's a different path. So in Siddhanta, jnana is the fruition of yoga tapas. So we don't acquire jnana by reading anything. We acquire jnana by practicing Charya Kriya Yoga, by doing our meditation and doing it well. The Bhashya explains it a little bit more. The instinctive mind and the young soul is firm and well knit together. The intellectual mind and the adolescent soul is complicated, and he sees the physical world as his only reality. The sub-superconscious mind in the mystically inclined soul, well perfected in Kriya, longs for realization of Shiva's two perfections, Satchit Ananda and Parashiva. Through yoga, he bursts into the superconscious mind, experiencing bliss, all-knowing, and perfect silence. So that's a little more description of the same thing, how the yoga leads to the jnana. It is when the yogi's intellect is shattered that he soars into Parashiva and comes out a jnani. Each time he enters that unspeakable nirvikalpa samadhi, he returns to consciousness more and more than ever. He is the liberated one, the jivanmukta, the epitome of kaivalya, perfect freedom, far-seeing, filled with light, filled with love. One does not become a jnani simply by reading and understanding philosophy. State of jnana lies in the realm of intuition beyond the intellect. Oh, there's an important point there. It's not developed. That unspeakable nirvikalpa samadhi. In other words, you can't describe it, is what is being said. Most things you can describe, and as we've talked about before, when you acquire knowledge, it means you're better at describing something than before you acquired the knowledge. You get a new computer, you read the computer manual, you've acquired knowledge. Now you can explain the computer better. But here, you've acquired knowledge and you still can't explain what you experienced. So it's a different kind of knowledge, unspeakable, nirvikalpa samadhi. So what I'm reading next is from the Vedanta course we did up in Kokei with the Inner Search. Nirguna, without attributes, Brahman, or the transcendent aspect of God, cannot be described. Every sage will try in some way to explain or help along our understanding of this transcendent reality, but will always admit the impossibility of actually describing it as it is. If you speak, you lie, is the comment of one sage on any attempt to convey in words the transcendent truth. The difficulty in describing Nirguna Brahman is that it is not realized by the knowing mind. It is never an object known as something other than he who knows it. The Kena Upanishad tells us, and this is a really great quote, I cannot say that I know Brahman fully, nor can I say that I know him not. He among us knows him best who understands the spirit of the words, nor do I know that I know him not. He truly knows Brahman who knows him as beyond knowledge. He who thinks that he knows, knows not. The ignorant think that Brahman is known, but the wise know him to be beyond knowledge. So over the centuries, in the attempts of Vedanta philosophers to explain the unexplainable, we often come across one traditional description. Brahman is Sat-Chit Ananda, or existence, knowledge, bliss. Describing Brahman with the word Sat-Chit Ananda is not to say that Brahman consists of these numerous aspects or so many natures. Brahman is one. And all of the words and their meanings are but attempts to describe that one indescribable truth that lies beyond words and meanings. Swami Vivekananda has put across this message in this powerful statement. We sometimes indicate a thing by its surroundings. When we say Sat-Chit Ananda, we are merely indicating the shores of an indescribable beyond. Not even can one say is about it, for that too is relative. Any imagination, any concept is in vain. Neti neti, not this is all that can be said, for even to think is to limit and so to lose. Well, that's a very nice way of approaching it. You know, it's the near shore, but what's beyond that shore we can't really describe, except by saying it's not this or not that. And to end with a quote from Yogaswami, same subject. One truth exists. One cannot claim to have seen it, nor can one assert that one has not seen it. It is an open secret. Who can know the knower? Sages have appeared from time to time, said one thing and another, and then disappeared. It remains itself, ever unknowable, ever new.